Father in heaven, Lord, we count it a privilege to be a part of Michigan Advanced Partners. And we ask, Lord, that you'll just guide and direct as we delve into the details and the blessing that MAP has been to this conference for almost 40 years now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just start out with talking about how it all began.
Okay.
So, Lay Advisory is a program that was actually started back in the late 70s.
Okay.
And there was a layperson by the name of Jerry Snowden from Escanaba. He still lives there. And he had this idea, how could laymen and pastors work better together in the conference to finish the Lord's work here in Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, well, it's fortunate for his idea, but unfortunately at the same time, there was a big financial crisis that the conference was going through at the time. And Jerry is quite a go-getter, still is, and he contacted, with help, all the churches in Michigan and said, hey, we'd like to have a representative from your church. We need to get together. We need to talk about this crisis and this idea, you know, how we can help get us out of this crisis. So over a period of a few weeks, there was a lot of meetings that took place in various parts of the state, and they were... A lot of prayer that was going on, because I can't remember exactly what the amount of money was, but it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Long story made short, they engaged the executive committee and some of the officers and said, you know, let's kind of formalize this thing. And they developed a committee of about 13 people as an original committee, elected in 1978. And the lay advisory concept was officially born. The good news is that this snowball was rolling, you know, and Jerry and this, and his, you know, various people from these elders and some pastors, they had this real burning desire to see if we can, you know, help the situation out. And it was only a matter of like a couple, maybe 3 months, that enough funds were obtained from the various churches to basically cancel out that financial crisis. It was a miracle, and it was a beautiful thing. They wanted to keep it going, and the executive committee and the officers wanted to keep it going as well. So they set up a regular schedule of meeting and basically discussing the needs that the conference had, you know, financial needs in various areas. And some of the things that they discussed, you know, we carry through even today, you know, as far as education, evangelism is concerned, you know, various other needs that the conference has. And basically the whole concept of Michigan Advanced Partners and the concept of RIDE, you know, means that it's basically people in Michigan wanting to advance the work of the gospel here in the state. And almost 40 years later, I put this number on the board here. $22.3 million is how much MAP money has been, you know, contributed in that time. And this conference would look entirely different had it not been for MAP. And little do people realize is that this is the largest source of non-tithe income that the conference operates under.
Right.
And so it's very important that we have consistent partners. Mm-hmm. And the recommendation, as you probably know from various appeals, is 1% of income.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I wanted to point out was that, did you see this MAP report? This MAP report's on the right side, right pocket. And it has, you've probably seen this before, but it shows the breakdown.
Mm-hmm. I get these every month.
Sure. So this is like a third of all MAP monies go to evangelism.
Right.
And then the church and building fund, 25%. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Project assist is for worthy students.
Mm-hmm.
And Great Lakes Adventist Academy gets 15%. And then you can see the breakdown, 4% for camp meeting. And 4% for Camp Savo, and then 0.67% for church equipment, church school equipment. Now, what I wanted to point out here was this 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this 25%, is what is known as the Pooled Resource Fund. And the Pooled Resource Fund, in your left pocket, you'll see I have a handle called MAP Pooled Resource Fund Guidelines. This Pooled Resource Fund is 25% of MAP funds that are received, and that is the fund that the Lay Advisory Coordinating Committee has oversight and distributes over the course of a year. That committee is made up of, if you look on the back of the sheet, made up of the officers here, myself being the chairperson. Right now we have a vacancy in the vice chair area, secretary, and then you see the area districts, area A, B, C, D. Each district, each area is made up of several districts, area A being districts 1 and 2, area B, districts 4, 5, and 6, area C, districts 9, 10, 11, and D, districts 7, 8, and 12. And you see the various names in there. Each area has a chairperson, a vice chair, and a secretary.
There's no district 3?
You know, that's a good point, because I was just kind of going from some other things when I was putting this together. That's a good point.
I don't even know that it has district 3, because I assume, like,
right.
Why would we just skip over a number randomly, but...
So, this group, which was called the Lay Advisory, meets about 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay.
And what do they do? Well, they sit around, they get some conference reports, you know, as far as, you know, what's happening in terms of evangelism, what's happening in terms of, you know, various things, various programs that are going on in the conference. And what is unique to Michigan is that, to my knowledge, this is the only conference that has such an oversight of lay people. And so the conference officers are sharing, you know, reports and things, you know, and different needs, statuses of various projects that are going on. And they look for input from lay people. And they welcome that input, and they, you know, they get a lot of feedback, which is very helpful to them. After those reports are given, and then we have the time of the meeting where we talk about the various requests. Now, in your packet, you will see a MAP funding request form. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Also, pull out your MAP pooled resources fund guidelines.
Okay.
This is the report that the churches will submit to the district chair in your, excuse me, the area chair in, you know, that is whatever your district is on here.
I think I'm 2. I'm in a
state. Okay.
I'm 1 or 2. I can't remember. We go to Traverse City for our yearly meeting.
So you would contact Dick Harris. You would submit that to him.
I think that's what it is.
Do you know Dick?
No.
Okay. So Dick will work with you and kind of evaluate your request and, you know, help you out with if there's some additional things that are required. If it's a physical building request, you know, like repair or something like that, we'll want to look for at least a couple to three bids that you've gotten for the work. And what qualifies for funding? Well, I'm glad you asked.
That was totally my next
question. So that's the guidelines right here. We try to keep it nice and concise here. There's really 5 basic guidelines, you know, at the very top there. One of the things that people don't realize, and I was hoping that, you know, we'd have more people to kind of hear this, is that, number one, unique outreach evangelism products can be funded up to 100% out of the MAP pooled resource fund.
So unique being things that not everybody's doing.
Well, maybe it's unique to your particular church. Maybe it's, you know, maybe somebody's had an idea for, you know, a way of doing VBS, or maybe it's a Bible worker that you're wanting to help fund, and you're looking for funding for that. Could be a low-power radio station. I'm just rattling things off the top of my head that other people have requested in the past. You know, we've had some people in some of the urban areas have, you know, special programs for youth that the church was, you know, trying out in the area, and we're looking for some additional funding. MAP will fund up to 100% of that. So, funding for new building projects will be decided by the Lay Advisory Statewide Coordinating Committee on a case-by-case basis. The reason why that's in there is that we ran into some trouble back in the 90s because it wasn't the guidelines that we would match, well, 10% of the total project fund. And it was like the roaring 90s, and everybody was building, and we had projects that were like $1 million, and then here, and then over. So 10% of a million is
$100,000.
Right, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. So what happened is that the funds got rapidly depleted to the point where, you know, we basically had to put a moratorium on those types of requests. So it was like for quite a long period of time, there was just like no money to do anything. And so we were honoring those requests, and make a long story short, it took over 10 years to kind of catch up to the point where we are now. I think we're just finally, we're paying off the last, few projects, and we might have to be completely, caught up on that now. But it's not that we're saying, no, we're not going to help you with a new building or that type of thing. It's just that we're just going to evaluate on a case-by-case basis.
It needs to show that it's needed.
Right.
Or
exactly.
Like your church has to be growing. Yeah. You can't just go, we decided we didn't like this building anymore. We want to move over there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll get into that a little bit later. Some other areas that kind of qualify in that on a case-by-case basis type of thing. Number three, funds granted for approved remodeling, improvement, and maintenance projects will be from 1% to 50%, up to, of the total project cost need, based on the need. Now, we get a lot of these, and it's roofs that need to be repaired, boilers that are broken, furnaces, lots and lots of parking lots. You know, people are looking for help with paving and that kind of thing. One thing that we recommend to people, they don't look to MAP as a primary source of funding for those projects.
Right.
You know, we are more than happy to help out. We have a church in the conference. I won't mention which one, but they're in a situation right now where there's a few people are attending on fixed incomes, and the building is literally about ready to fall.
Right.
And in order to make it safe, you know, now they've done their best to, you know, raise some funds, you know, to make it safe again, you know, so it'll pass inspection. That's one where we're going to, you know, it's kind of more of an emergency because if they don't get this thing fixed, they're just not going to have a church there.
Right.
So that's one thing that we're going to probably address here later this summer. And so they can do the Unlock Revelation seminar and all that. Other situations, we've had schools in the middle of February, their boiler blows up.
Right.
You know, that's an emergency situation.
Right.
And that's where, you know, if it doesn't fall within one of the 3 to 4 times that we meet, we'll have a phone call to address the need. But we'll still want them to submit paperwork. It's like, you know, what kind of funding do you have available? What have you raised, you know, locally to address this emergency? And that type of thing. Four is really important. All requests for funding are subject to the availability of projected pooled resource fund balance. Why do I say that? We don't spend money we don't have.
Right.
We did that.
We
got in trouble. And, people just kind of lost track of that because we were busy catching up. And, you know, like I said, it's the largest source of income that the conference utilizes outside of tithe. So evangelism being positively affected. You've got education being positively affected.
Right.
But people just kind of, it kind of happens. Well, it doesn't just kind of happen. It's really the systematic faithfulness of members in Michigan all banding together to make it happen.
Right.
You know, we have close to 190, if not 190, churches and companies here in this conference. And, you know, the thing I was trying to, what I wanted to emphasize was that it's, you know, you have all these churches kind of working together, you know, it just makes it so much easier and, you know, basically enables maybe some other churches to do some things that they wouldn't normally have, you know, the ability to do financially, and it just everyone benefits from it. So it's really kind of it's really a beautiful thing. I believe it follows the, you know, the first church model in the Book of Acts, where everybody was, you know, sharing resources, and it's a very very much along the same line of thinking. Number five, any changes to map percent allotments would be recommended by the Lake Advisory Statewide Coordinating Committee to the Michigan Trail. All that means is that right now we've got these percentages set up. Mm-hmm. Those, you know, there's a process. We just can't go in there willy-nilly and just change the percentages. We're going to be working with, you know, through committees and the executive committee of the conference. If there needs to be a change, it's going to be addressed in a proper manner. So, how to get funds. That is the Map Pooled Resources Fund Request Protocol. In other words, how does it work? I kind of alluded to this, is that you fill out your form. You look to see who your chair is on the chart here. And then you basically submit the request through. And that is you, the lay advisor representative, that does that. And then they work with you to see, you know, well, you need this, or this looks good, and at that point where they think that this, you know, they feel that this looks good and it meets all the requirements, they're gonna pass that along to myself. The conference treasurer is gonna get a copy, and also some other area chairs are also going to. And once that gets vetted out, then it'll be brought to the coordinating committee, so everybody can decide upon it. So you provide a general description of your project, the reasonable or exact estimates of the total project cost, how much money you need, and why you need the funding. And it's really that simple. You know, it kind of gets into the nuts and bolts of what I just mentioned here in steps 6, 7, and 8. But once it hits the coordinating committee meeting. It actually happens very, you know, very quickly. You know, we put all the requests up on the board like this, and we kind of go down and we look at available funds. And say you requested $1,000, but this particular time we've got 50 requests, and we've got $20,000 to work with. So we'll go through and we'll try to be as fair as we can. And you know, that's why it's important to, you know, state the reason for the need, because we'll look at, you know, this church here has probably enough members to, you know, raise additional funds, whereas this church, you know, they got a lot of fixed income, you know, right. You know, so we take that into consideration. And then once that's taken care of, then the committee votes on it. Right after that meeting, you'll get notified as to how much, you know, money was allotted, and then that money gets dispersed pretty quickly. Probably within a week of that meeting. And that's how that works. Is there any questions that you have on that?
I realize that things are not, like, cut and dry. But, like, is there times of the year where you get more requests than at other times?
That is hard to...
Right, and I realize that, but, I mean, there are times where it's like...
Because you're kind of thinking, well, okay, if I submit now, I'm going to be with, like, 50 others, but if I submit here, I'm going to have, like, 3 others. It's really hard to say. I would say that for the longest time, we weren't getting hardly any requests because people didn't know that...
It was possible.
Possible.
Right.
And so we've been trying to get the word out. It's like, you know, it's not broke anymore, it's fixed, and we're... And as soon as that word got out, we started getting more and more requests.
Right.
And that's why the protocol becomes increasingly important, because some of these requests are, people just don't have the knowledge, you know. Like I had one group wanted $628,000. You know, and I had explained to them, I said, well, thank you for your interest in MAP. But then, you know, when I kind of broke down, you know, what MAP actually brings in annually, we're probably bringing in close to 900,000 total. And keep in mind that all but 25% of that has already been allotted to these various programs. So it's just 25% of that. So that works out to a little over 200,000 that we have to work with over the course of that year. And so, and those are the kind of things that if we all hit that 1%, you know, we'd be closer to $3 million a year. And we wouldn't have to have, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with appeals, you know, we need to make appeals, but the systematic benevolence of all everybody working together, this $350,000 that we need for evangelism, that would have been covered.
Yeah,
that would have been covered by this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm all for evangelism, and MAP is, you know, it's the biggest percentage of
right.
MAP goes to evangelism. But we just need to get the word out to be systematic with this because
yeah.
everybody benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody benefits in the conference. And that's why I think it's just a kind of an amazing, unique offering that is very unique to Michigan.
Right.
And Michigan has been the leader in a lot of different areas. And I think, you know, this is one of the areas, you know, in Michigan, the systematic benevolence has contributed to that, you know, being able to do some things. And there's just so much more that we need to get done. And that's why we need to get the word out, you know, that MAP is alive and well, and, you know, people like yourself, you know, I've got some testimonies here that kind of describe, you know, anything from the Grayling School to the Clio Church to, you know, McMillan Northwoods up in the Upper Peninsula, how they've all benefited from MAP. One other thing I wanted to share with you, this is from our... This is actually on the right pocket side. It's called the Michigan Conference Something Evidence Lay Advisory Coordinating Committee meeting. These are examples of recent projects that, you know, I extrapolated from this from the minutes. These are actual projects. This is the last meeting, most recent meeting that we've had. We're going to have another one in August here. But this gives you an example of, you know, we've got Boyne City, Tiowa City, Ionia Church, Coldwater Church, Detroit Northwest. It says held over request. You're going like, well, why does it say held over request? Well, we didn't have any money when these requests came in. So what we will do is that we will hold some over, you know, and wait for the next meeting, you know, when we have some funding available. But these were held over from the previous meeting, and then we were able to address them. And then we have new projects, you know, new projects that came up. You'll see that Michigan Conference Mobile Kitchen Overhaul, Campus Sable Nature Center, Mount Pleasant Remodel, St. Charles, SD, Hillsdale, you know, the back Tecumseh, Detroit Metro, Blue Water. And then you'll see that, postpone the following projects till August and seek further information. Why is that? Well, sometimes the form will come in kind of incomplete. We don't have enough information, or they didn't get enough bids, you know, and maybe it's a little fuzzy, or they were rushed when they sent it in. And if we need more information, we'll basically send it back and say, this is not necessarily rejected, it's just that we need more information so that we can make a proper decision. Now, the reason why I put these two churches on here, because those are remodeling. And that kind of falls more in the category of maybe like a new building structure type of thing. When we compare that, you know, somebody just wants new carpet. The roof's not caving in. You know, the furnace is working fine. Whereas we have these requests over here where this church is falling apart. This parking lot over here has gigantic craters, you know, that nobody possibly could, you know, visit safely. You know, we will look at that situation, and notice we didn't say these were rejected.
Right.
We'll basically just kind of move them, or, you know, ask for more information, or, you know, ask them, you know, what's the time frame that you want this remodel to take place. So that's what the function of the committee does. You know, it just kind of weighs these things out, and you'll see where we've got the voted and approved, and not everybody gets everything that they requested. Because why? Because largely because we don't have the funding available to to hit the mark. If you see the
I see Blue Water requested 16,000 and they were approved for 4,000.
Exactly. You'll see that Ionia requested 15,567 and we have voted to 6,000 or 6,200 is what we voted. We're just working with available funds.
Right.
And it's not that we don't say that your project is not worthy. We're just trying to spread it around. Trying to spread it around. So I wanted to put that in there so that people have an idea that, we are, interested in working with all the churches. It's just that, we only have so many funds to work with, and we have these guidelines, and when we weigh the projects out based on need.
This percentage on the back here.
What's
the
that?
Percent of income on the back of the report.
Okay.
What is that number based on?
Okay. This is for the recording.
Yeah.
We're talking about the MAP report that comes out every month. And we're looking at the May MAP report. And the question was, what does that percentage mean? That is the percentage of basically tithe from that church in terms of, if you look down through the various churches, like that first one, is 0.29% of income is what was allocated for MAP.
Okay, but so then you guys know how much tithe is returned from the church. And then you go, 1% of that is this much, so you should be returning that much.
Well, that's a recommendation.
Right. Where you get it from. It's not based on our membership and then our the gross whatever.
It's the actual tithe that's returned.
Okay. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
So
it's like we have 100-something people on our books, and we got 8 people showing up.
Sure.
It's going to look really bad.
Well, it's really kind of, it's really more of a tool for the church. Nobody's getting, this is not punitive.
No, I didn't get that, but it was like, okay, well, if it was actually based on what our membership is, and what it's like, it's going to be off, and I don't care. But if this is based on what our actual, what we are returning in tithe.
Yep.
And this is only the amount that we're getting, then I need to do a better job about letting our members know that, hey, do that additional 1%. I mean, starts to add up.
So you get it.
Right?
Yeah, that's the beauty of systematic benevolence is like when if everybody is contributing that percentage, it becomes just a huge blessing for everyone.
Well,
there's an immediate correlation. Available funds of for evangelism, for education, for Worthy Student Fund, for Campus Abel, for these campground, for the camp meeting improvements. The list goes on and on, and then more money. Could you imagine if the committee had $600,000 to work with every year?
Right.
How many churches would really, really benefit from that?
Right.
So you get the vision. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody doing a little bit, just means a whole lot of benefit for everyone.
But that's why I wanted to know what those percentages actually were based on.
Yep.
They said if they are based on actual return of tithe, then my church is at 0.15%. So... Okay, then. I guess I have to do something.
And that's the thing that I was hoping that more representatives would come here so they could ask these questions and we could answer them. If you look at the overall conference average of 0.29, that's not even a third of a percent.
Right.
That's why I was saying that, can you imagine 3 times what we're working with today?
Mm-hmm.
How much positive impact that would have in our,
right.
in our church. And I think... I honestly think that more churches are going to see this because they're going to see MAP, moving. And so.
I only see a couple that are at their 1%.
Right.
I guess 3. With a quick scan, I got 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
you can see they're different sized churches. So this church right here,
Detroit Romanian is, or not Romanian. Yeah, the Detroit Romanian is bound to be a very small church. I cannot imagine that the Romanian community is that large. Right? I mean, that's a very specific...
Like, right, exactly.
Yes, Detroit is large, but I can't imagine that the Romanian community is that large. So that's a very small, small church.
Right.
It might be more than eight people, but...
But you see, they're, you know...
But that would be a small... And they've made their 1%.
Yes. And that's really kind of the point.
Right.
You know, it's more difficult for a larger church. You can look at the current amount and the year-to-date amount. You know, that's what has come in. You can kind of get an idea of the, what the tithe base is a bit.
Well, that's true, too.
So,
because if they're at 1%, actually at 1%, $187 is like $18,000
right.
a year.
Yeah, you're exactly.
So.
But, you know, it's just, it's really, like I said, it's something for the individual churches to look at.
Right.
And these are actually areas that the coordinating committee, you know, takes in consideration. You know, if we have a church that comes to us and says, you know, we're requesting, you know, $50,000 in funding, mm-hmm. and we look at their percent, you know, that they're giving, they're at 0.00001.
Right.
You know, we might, you know, ask them to, you know, do some education as to what MAP is, and, you know, maybe invite one of us. And that's another thing. If you want to have a special MAP emphasis Sabbath, I'd be happy to come to your church.
That's
and anybody nice. Listening to this recording, I'd be happy to come to your church and to talk about MAP and do a little bit of a an overview of, you know, much more concise, you know, in the offering time. And I would even be willing to give the message, you know, if you wanted to, if you wanted to.
We are going to sign you up. And I have the authority to do that because I'm the leader. We don't have a pastor.
Okay.
So.
No problem. And if anybody is listening to this recording wants to have any of these handouts, you can send me an email at kbarrett, the number 33 at hotmail.com. And I'll be happy to forward the electronic copies of these handouts that we're looking at today. You know, as far as the guidelines are concerned, we kind of went over those. We went over the MAP request form, a little bit of the history of MAP. Also, I have lay advisory area church assignments as a handout, so churches are looking at this. I have, what area am I in? And you basically look at this handout, and you can see that you are, you know, listed underneath area A, B, C, or D. And why is that important? Because the corresponding chair for the area is who you want to have your lay advisory representative interface with for those requests. And and just follow that simple protocol that we have outlined here. And really start to experience the blessing of MAP. Now, I will say that some churches may give for years and years and years and not really have a, you know, need or, you know, to put in a MAP request. I've had churches, we've seen churches that have submitted a request and the amount qualified, and after they received the amount, they realized that, oh, we found out we didn't need that much, and they'll, you know, return the full amount or part of that amount, you know, so that it goes back in that pool for another church that, you know, needs it.
Right.
And so that's really nice. There are churches out there that we've you know, seen that they just kind of hand the money back, and we've had it happen recently. You know, it was a $10,000 amount of money, and they just they looked at their situation and said, no, we had the engineers look at it, and then they said, nope, that's natural settling that's going on, so we're saying we should be okay, so they sent back that check.
Okay.
It goes back in the pool, which is important because there's
yeah.
churches that can't do that. And
this one doesn't have a number 3 on it either.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Some of this I was, Some of this I was trying to update to 2017 because the last thing I had was 2000. So, you know, I don't know what happened to District 3 in the 17 years. But I included this from Councils on Stewardship. It says, wait not for repeals. There's a little handout here. It says, our people are not to wait for more appeals, but are to lay right hold of the work, making those things which appear impossibilities, possibilities. Let each one ask himself, has not the Lord entrusted me with means for the advancement of his cause? Let us be honest with the Lord. All the blessings that we enjoy come from him, and if he has entrusted us with the talent of means that we may help to do his work, shall we hold back? Shall we say, no, Lord, my children would not be pleased, and therefore I shall venture to disobey God, burying his talent in the earth. There should be no delay. The cause of God demands your assistance. We ask you as the Lord's stewards to put his means into circulation. I included this because this is really what the pooled resources are about, putting these monies into circulation so that, you know, that God's work can be benefited all over this conference. To provide facilities by which many will have the opportunity of learning what is truth. And that could be schools, it could be churches, it could be, you know, and I just thought this really resonated well with what Michigan Advance is all about. The temptation may come to you to invest your money in land. Perhaps your friends will advise you to do this, but is there not a better place of investing your means? Have you not been bought with a price? Has not your money been entrusted to you to be traded upon for him? Can you not see that he wants you to use your means in helping to build meeting houses and helping to establish sanitariums where the sick shall receive physical and spiritual healing and helping to start schools and keep schools going in which the youth shall be trained for service that workers may be sent to all parts of the world? In the last paragraph here, God himself originates the plans of advancement of his work. And he has provided his people with a surplus. What does it say? Surplus. A surplus of means that when he calls for help, they may tearfully respond. If they will be faithful in bringing to his treasury the means lent them, his work will make rapid advancement. Many souls will be won to the truth, and the day of Christ's coming will be hastened. Mm-hmm. And that is what MAP is all about. Hastening the coming of our Lord. And, you know, I talked about the history of MAP, you know, starting with Jerry Snowden. And I really think the Lord inspired him with this because, you know, I can't imagine what this conference would look like without MAP. And you know, this conference is, I hate to use the word envy, but a lot of, you know, conferences will say, well, how is Michigan doing it? You know, especially when, and I'm not saying that we don't have our own struggles, but, you know, when we had that, 2009, you know, that was really some really tough years, you know, for some conferences in the Midwest, and Michigan was able to weather the storm. Right. And I think it was largely because of the faithfulness of people with a MAP offering. And it's not going to be the only storm that we're going to have to weather.
Right.
And, you know, just look around you. Are things getting better and better? No, they're not. You know, that's why it's really important for us to kind of hit the gas and, you know, do what we can to promote MAP. Now, I'm not saying MAP is the only answer, but I'm just saying it's a huge, you know.
If we do it now while we can, we won't lament when we can't and say, oh, I should have, could have, would have.
Should have, could have, would have, yeah. Yeah, you know, may come a time where, you know, who knows when the next crash and how big it's going to be. And
well, we're almost kind of, I mean, the whole thing, the whole Adventist message is we're waiting for the Lord, which right before the Lord comes, we know is going to be bad. We're really looking forward to that time. And if we're looking forward to a time where things are going to be really, really bad for us, why not now take care of this issue so that there can be something available for that time?
Exactly.
We all say is going to happen, like, soon, not like in 50 years, like tomorrow. Like, we're all looking forward to tomorrow when it happens. Because it's always tomorrow.
So I'm going to bring you around with me when I do these. You're like the, you know, you're like the ideal lay advisory rep. You understand it. And is there anything that you had questions on that I didn't address?
No, I think that about covered it. I mean, I got a form. I know who to give it to now. I had some idea that I needed some bids and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of gathered that. It's just getting those bids, and
right.
The last time we got bids, we assumed that they can't be 2 years old.
Right.
So,
let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share about Michigan Advanced Partners and to learn more about this dear sister's church and, Lord, their desire to serve you and desire to win souls. Lord, it just warms my heart to hear this. And, Lord, I just pray that they will catch even a greater vision of finishing the Lord's work in their area, in their church, and have renewed hope that there's help available through Michigan Advanced Partners to help them in their efforts. Guide and direct us, Lord, through this camp meeting experience. Lord, we pray that you'll just teach our hearts, and Lord, that we may be able to be more on fire for you. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.